Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. I know I'm saying a lot about the Holy Spirit these days, but I also know that understanding the Holy Spirit and yielding my life to the work of God through His Spirit radically changed my life, radically. And I long for the same for you. It might be different in your life. Different expressions of it can come in many, many ways. But recognizing that I am not the source of my life, that I belong to another, and that other has given me everything of Himself. And He has given me through His Holy Spirit all the gifts that I need to serve Him and to follow Him and to help others to follow Him. And God desires that for each one of us. He holds out His gifts. He never forces them on us. So I want to urge you again, be open to the Holy Spirit. Read what I've encouraged you to read. Most of all, these days especially, read the scriptural accounts after Jesus was raised from the dead, after the Holy Spirit had come on the apostles. Read the accounts. Look at the changes in their lives. Look at it. Read them carefully. Read the Acts of the Apostles. Read it through. And see what God did for them, how He met their needs, the gifts He gave them. He wants to do the same for us, brothers and sisters. Let's take a look now at the first reading for today, which is taken from the book of Tobit, chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. Chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. On the night of Pentecost, after I had buried the dead, I, Tobit, went into my courtyard to sleep next to the courtyard wall. My face was uncovered because of the heat. I did not know there were birds perched on the wall above me till their warm droppings settled in my eyes, causing cataracts. It was blinded. I went to see some doctors for a cure, but the more they anointed my eyes with various salves, the worse the cataracts became until I could see no more. For 4 years I was deprived of eyesight, and all my kinsmen were grieved at my condition. Ahikar, however, took care of me for 2 years, until he left for Elymas. At that time my wife Anna worked for hire at weaving cloth, the kind of work women do. And when she sent back the goods to their owners, they would pay her. Late in winter, on the 7th of Distress, she finished the cloth and sent it back to the owners. They paid her the full salary and also gave her a young goat for the table. On entering my house, the goat began to bleat. I called to my wife and said, "Where did this goat come from?" Now remember, he's blind. "Perhaps it was stolen. Give it back to its owners. We have no right to eat stolen food." Do you see how he's made a decision? And then he's already making all other kinds of decisions out of that wrong judgment. Don't we do that sometimes? We just assume we're right. "Perhaps it was stolen. Give it back. We have no right to eat stolen food." And she said to me, "It was given to me as a bonus over and above my wages." Yet I would not believe her. You see, he's probably all this pent-up anger, being blind, all the restriction, all the limitation, feeling useless. I mean, scripture doesn't say that, but you can imagine that. And so when you get angry like that, you start taking it out on other people, don't we? And that's exactly what this good man did. He just got angry at his wife. He took out all his frustration on his wife. And he says, "Yet I would not believe her and told her to give it back to its owners. I became very angry with her over this." And she retorted, "Where are your charitable deeds now? Where are your virtuous acts? See, your true character is finally showing itself." Can't you hear an argument like that? We can get into arguments like that. Here's a man known for his obedience to God, his obedience to the word. He's a man known for it. And he suffered some persecution for it, but he was faithful. So people know that he's a virtuous man and a good man, and then he loses it after this period of time of being blind, and I can't imagine the pain he probably endured. And he does what we often do. We take out our anger on the person closest to us, and he does. And she mocks him. She mocks him. That can happen to any of us, brothers and sisters. And this is where we turn back to the Lord and we say, forgive me. Not take care of my wife or show my wife that I really should be listened to even if I'm wrong. All the kinds of outlandish things we can say and do. You don't want to go down those paths. When God sends us trials and difficulties, it's, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Especially when it's not our fault. What do you want me to learn from this? Rather than hating other people and getting angry and getting embittered, Lord, what do you want to teach me? There are many of you listening to this program who perhaps are confined to your home because of illness. What do you want of me, Lord? Right here in this position, when I seem to be helpless, when I can't go here or go there or do this or do that, what do you want of me? Ask him. One of the things he will tell you is who to pray for and to spend your time when you're incapacitated praying, or at least when you're limited in moving around. God has a plan for each of us, brothers and sisters. Just because our plan is foiled doesn't say that God's plan is foiled. Listen to him and know that he will show you. The heart of the just one is firm, trusting in the Lord. If you have a difficulty, as Tobit does here, if you have that kind of difficulty, pray Psalm 112. Pray it a lot. Bless the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commands. Ask the Lord to give you those graces. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 13 to 17, some Pharisees and Herodians were sent to Jesus to ensnare him in his speech. They wanted to trip him up, show him to be wrong. They came and they said to him, Teacher, we know that you are a truthful man. You always, you know, when you have people coming to you that you know are not your friends, it's fine to be a little cautious because look what happens here. Teacher, we know you are a truthful man. They're complimenting him. That you are not concerned with anyone's opinion. You do not regard a person's status, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. We know this is your fine man, truthful man. Is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or should we not pay? Knowing their hypocrisy, they weren't really interested in the answer to the question. They just wanted to trip him up. They wanted him to oppose Caesar. They wanted him to be seen as opposing the government. But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, why are you testing me? Give me a denarius to look at. And so they brought one to him, and he said, whose image and inscription is this? And they replied to him, Caesar's. So Jesus said to him, then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. They were utterly amazed at him. They were probably rendered speechless. They didn't know what to say. The Lord didn't do an either or. The Lord just said, give to what belongs to the government, so to speak. Give it what is its due. And give to God what is his due. Brothers and sisters, you and I have to pay taxes. We have to comply with the government's legislation, and we should. But do you render to God what belongs to God? That's the question. Or do you think that once I have satisfied the government, I'm free? Once I've satisfied my debt there, or whatever it is that I need to do, or I've given the right paperwork, I'm done for another year. But what God says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. What is God owed, brothers and sisters? He's owed your obedience. He saved you for all eternity. You owe him big time, as we would say today. Gratitude and obedience. That's what we owe God, gratitude and obedience. And part of that obedience, it's not a sniveling kind of slave-like obedience. It's an obedience where God keeps opening up his heart and his life wider and wider and wider to us when we obey him, when we follow him. And we enter into deeper and deeper relationship with him. God has nothing but good for you. But the choice is yours. To either immerse yourself in this world, and God makes clear that we need to be in the world, but not of the world. Be in the world, pay what is due, obey what is appropriate, what is proper to obey. You owe it, but to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, obey him. Obey civil authority where that's needed, but obey God at all times and under all circumstances. Are you willing to do that? You know, many people, and I've talked to many, many people think that, well, once I reach a certain age, everybody better obey me. I don't have any obligation to obey anybody. Well, you do, actually. You do have an obligation to obey your employers. You do have an obligation in certain limited areas, to obey the pastor of your parish. But brothers and sisters, you owe all obedience to God. Your pastor, your boss, your employer, yes, they're to be obeyed because God says they're to be obeyed. But first of all, your obedience should be given to God himself and to his word, to his call, to his challenge. And ask the Holy Spirit for help. Ask him for wisdom and understanding. Ask him for counsel and fortitude. Ask him for knowledge and piety. And ask him for a fear of the Lord, a reverence for the Lord, so that you will obey him. Not only obey him, but obey him for the right reasons. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be true and clear and straightforward. And if we are, he will bless us abundantly, brothers and sisters, abundantly. And I do mean that. That, yes, heaven is when all the joy is given to us. Heaven is when it's all perfect. But even now in this life, we can know more of the kindness and the mercy and the goodness of God and God's desire to draw us close to himself. That's what he has for us. Obedience is a great part of that pathway. So take a look at you, whether you are 20 years old or 90 years old. Take a look at yourself and say, am I following the Lord? Am I obeying him? When you do, when you make that decision and that choice, you will be mightily blessed. God bless you. As you listen to these programs, you can see areas of your own life that need to change, and I want to offer you a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. It's great joy, brothers and sisters. Don't miss it. 1-800-282-4789 for a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. Again, 1-800-282-4789.